The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
It is something that has changed colour, changed shape, changed position, changed function, changed efficacy, anything along those lines, and you'd like a medical view, that's what Eleanor is here for. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
There are no windows in the studio, but judging from your clothing, it is summery.
It's summer. I've decided it's summer.
I'm delighted. And it's still sunny outside.
Absolutely.
This is good news. All right. We have a text to say, I keep getting a persistent frog in my throat. What could be causing this? The devil and all, I
see. Yeah, and people mean all sorts of things by frog in their throat. They can mean they're hoarse, or they can mean they're phlegm, or they're coughing. One of the big things is sinusitis. And I suppose at the moment we're kind of in hay fever season. Another one of them is acid reflux, where it kind of just burns the back of your throat. You make more phlegm and then you feel like you can't clear your throat. People who shout and roar, voice misusers, smokers, thyroid disease, cancer, always up there. And Parkinson's can make people have a funny voice.
I had a friend with Parkinson's, and he was told to sing, to join a choir, because it helped with the voice, because the voice loss was a big issue for him.
Yeah, so any things like that, if you have a frog in your throat and it's not going away and you've taken over the counter antihistamine and you've had a few cups of tea and it's not gone and it's going on for a while, go and have it checked.
You mentioned antihistamines. We have a text relating to that saying, are there side effects associated with antihistamines? Antihistamines are what? Swelling stoppers. Is that it?
They stop, they release the histamine, which causes sneezing, watery eyes, bit of wheezing, and all the things you associate with summer, beautiful weather. Of course, there's side effects with antihistamines. There's side effects with anything that works as side effects. So homeopathic medicine has no side effects, you know. I'll leave it there.
Is that because it has no effects?
Absolutely. Some antihistamines.
Have you ever seen the Mitchell and Webb sketch of the homeopathic hospital?
Yes, I have.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Yeah. Cure thirst. So antihistamines can make some people drowsy. So some are drowsy antihistamines, some are non-drowsy antihistamines. There's always some people who'll be drowsy from all of them. So it's always good to try it before you go on a long journey driving a car. You can get a dry mouth. You can get blurry vision and you can get difficulty peeing. But the vast majority of people have absolutely no problem with antihistamines. I would say if you have a heart problem and you're on heart tablets or something like that, there are people who may be prone to getting not a normal rhythm in their heart from taking too much antihistamines. But your chemist will always ask you those questions before they hand you out your antihistamines. And also pregnant women shouldn't really be taking them, and neither should small children without medical advice. But otherwise, yeah, they're fab and they have minimal side effects really for what they do for people.
Are you finding a lot of people coming into you crippled with hay fever at the moment?
Yeah. Once the weather gets good, people get hay fever, and there's an awful lot you can do for it. And then there's some things you just can't. So there are treatments now to stop and reverse grass pollen allergy, but a lot of people are just allergic to everything. So it's then to be dosed up over the summer over with kind of strongish prescription strength antihistamines and nasal sprays that don't have a rebound from them, that are probably prescription as well.
Because I always think hay fever is a bit like migraine, that if you don't have either, you think, it can't be that bad.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. Yeah. I think some people are just like streaming mess for the summer and they take their stuff and then the next summer they probably are prepared, ready for it. And the Vaseline inside the nose and the wraparound Bono sunglasses, all those sorts of tricks that people do.
Do the wraparound Bono sunglasses
work? Yeah,
they do.
They get the pollen out of your eyes.
This is the fly period Bono rather than the more recent pink ones, I assume.
Is that correct? The pink ones. I'm still back in the 90s.
A text saying, I've noticed a small black mark on my hand and it hasn't gone away for about a week. How likely is it to be purpura? And should I get it
purpura? Purpura is just kind of a broken blood vessel under the skin. Sometimes they can, like a small black mark on your hand could be a melanoma, and it could also be carrying really heavy shopping bags that burst a tiny blood vessel in your hand. So you watch for a week or two, and then if it's not going, you bring it to somebody and they will say what it is.
Text saying, I never used to get UTIs before, which I think is urinary tract infection, but I have a few now over the last couple of years. Should I be worried?
If it's a man, yes, you should be worried. If it's a woman, probably not so much. So some women can get a lot of urinary tract infections when they have dryness from menopause. They can have it after sex. And all sorts of things like that can give women urinary tract infections. They have a different anatomy to a man, a shorter urethra, so it's easier for them to get them. And it's one of those things, and yes, there comes a point where you'd investigate it and get them scanned and do all those sort of things, but for a while you'd just be treating them and kind of seeing what's funny with their lifestyle. For men, if you have a urinary tract infection, one, certainly two, you certainly need to have your prostate checked, your bladder checked, your kidney scanned, because that is a very unusual thing. Men having urinary tract, and they can get so sick so fast with urinary tract infections, because it takes a long time even for their symptoms. So they're symptomatic and now they have septicemia. So men and urinary tract infections, yes, I would suspect it's a woman, because it'd be even that much more unusual for a man to have one and have not ended up immediately getting investigated.
Oh, it's that significant. You'd know all about it if you're a man.
You'd know all about it if you're a man.
Text saying, is it normal not to feel your heartbeat in bed at night? But my brother was diagnosed with a weak heart. I'm worried I could have a weak heart too. My heartbeat seems fainter. I suppose the one positive thing is if you're able to write the text, it's not what it might be. It hasn't stopped entirely.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't feel my heartbeat in bed. I wonder, is that if you say lie on your back or whatever, maybe you don't, or maybe if you lie on your left sometimes, or maybe you become more aware of it, and then you're thinking, I don't feel it enough, I feel it too much.
You know those sensory baths that you can take where they put you in a tube?
I would rather shoot myself than go into one of those.
But apparently you hear the inside of your body. You hear all sorts of gurgles and pumping.
Not for me. That doesn't sound relaxing, does it?
So, sorry, going back to the point, the quietness of your heart, unless it's doing something very much done.
I think that sounds a good sign, actually, to be honest.
Tech saying, I am a woman, late 40s, had a fall last Saturday, broke my cheekbone with a hairline went to A&E, suffering with headaches still. I'm very tired. I feel a bit slow due to the concussion. When should I start to see a difference with cognitive health? So if you had a concussion, how long before you start to see improvement?
You break your bone in the front of your head. She must have had a really big bang. They say 40 days for rugby players, isn't it? That they're off the pitch for 40 days. I would think 40 days for herself. And I would think if it's getting worse, not better, that she should go back and be seen again. And make sure she's had a scan and the whole thing has been done and tied off. So you'd hope that she'd be getting better in a week. But if she probably should be taking it easy for a month. But if she's not improving, then she should go back.
On the topic of bone breaks in women, my understanding, maybe I'm wrong on this, my understanding is that women tend to have a greater propensity towards osteoporosis than men.
It's because of the menopause.
Is it?
Yeah.
Should women be taking calcium supplements or supplements along those lines as they go through menopause?
No. So there was a whole study came out in Australia that said we should take calcium when you don't need calcium. It gets laid down in your bloodstream. Whether that was true or not, probably not. But we should be getting calcium from our diet, and we should be doing plenty exercise. And then you should be getting a DEXA scan when you are, well, according to some insurance companies, when you're 60 plus. Probably a bit earlier. And certainly if you've
been. And a DEXA scan looks at bone density, is that
Yeah, just the density of bones, how thick they are. And if you have people in your family who have osteoporosis, I would certainly check it earlier than that. And if you have a man in your family with osteoporosis, or you're a man who's had a low a fracture from, say, falling off a curb or something stupid like that, or a woman who's had a fracture from a small impact, like herself and her face fracture, and she might be still in shock, but like, did she fall and just hit it off the corner of a kitchen press? Well, then she should be maybe being DEXA scanned, and then you take your calcium if you're seen to have some thinning. But until that, no. Eat your cheese, yeah.
I've got one that I think may challenge you. It says, okay. Anything for a cat dander allergy. I'm allergic to my friend's long-haired cat, not their hypoallergenic one. I get very wheezy when I visit. I'm sure you'll be able to answer that. Mm. The bigger question, what exactly is dander? Is dander just a posh word for fur?
It's dust that's inside. It's kind of skin flakes that's inside hair. So it's this little bits of skin that comes off with the hair.
You know everything.
Oh, I don't really. I have three cats.
Have you? They have much in the way of dander.
I have two sons who are both highly allergic to my three cats.
Do you use it to keep their distance?
I'm one long-haired cat.
Sit there resplendent, surrounded by cats.
No, cats live all over our house. Every morning my children get their nasal sprays and their antihistamines, and we live very happily with our three cats. They're worth it. One long hair, two short hairs. They all make the same. Everybody's allergic. I've had some visitors who are only allergic to some cats, so they now also get antihistamines when they come to our house.
And antihistamines is the answer, is it?
Yeah, antihistamines.
So if you're visiting your friend who has a dangerous cat, take the antihistamines on the way.
Yeah.
I remember seeing somebody get hospitalised because of horse dander. I was amazed at the effect it had. Yeah, watching somebody go from quite able to breathe and talk to in an ambulance in a very bad way.
Yeah, we've not had an ambulance in our house yet.
Well, it is.
We did have one of my daughter's friends who got a big swollen face, and that was, I did ring her mum and say, is it okay? And it was fine. She still comes. We've just put the cat in a different room.
A text saying, I have a ball-like lump about 10 centimetres above my navel. I can grip it with my fingers and have over a year. That sounds like you've been holding it nonstop over a year. I assume you've taken breaks, but it hasn't gone away. What could it be?
It could be a periumbilical hernia, or it could be a lipoma. So lipomas are benign fatty lumps that are actually quite...
Oh, a little squishy pad.
Well, they're actually quite hard, but they're lovely and distinct and round. They're having a small tennis ball sewn in under your skin. That's what they kind of feel like. Or it could be a periumbilical hernia, in which case you should really get it checked, because it could be one of many other things, but that's probably one of those things.
Do you ever get those things?
I think before a year would be up, you'd really want to be figuring what the large lump above your umbilicus is. It'd be time to have a look at it.
Yes, it's probably not a good idea to spend a long time with internal intestines poking out through stomach walls and things like that. So
get it looked. Yeah. Right. Or even next time you're down for something else, get it looked at.
Text asking, what can I do about acid reflux?
Acid reflux really comes down to lifestyle. It's generally eating big meals, smoking, drinking, those sort of things. So first of all, you can change your lifestyle. You can try some medications like Losec, over-the-counter esomeprazole, that sort of thing. And then if that doesn't work, you really need to go get checked to see that you have Helicobacter pylori, which is a stomach bug some people have, that gives them acid reflux. And then you might end up needing gastroscopy, where somebody has a look down your camera, all depending on what age you are, what kind of lifestyle you have. But I suppose these things, you try and fix them with your lifestyle. If that doesn't work, you give it a few weeks to try a tablet over-the-counter. If that doesn't work, GP and maybe a scope, because there's always going to be people who have acid reflux from stomach or esophageal cancers, and they're the ones you don't want to miss.
And it can be particularly debilitating. I mean, it's a horrible thing to live with nonstop. It hurts.
It is. Most people who have it know why they're getting it. But if it's coming out of nowhere, it's one of those things that would definitely get it checked.
A text asking, I'm dealing with constant spells of anxiety. How would you suggest dealing with this apart from going on meds? Do you get many people who, before we get to it, do you get many people arriving seeking meds for anxiety, or do you get many people who raise issues like anxiety with
probably
the GP?
40% of the day is anxiety.
Is it?
Anxiety is really common. Kind of 1 in 2, 3 people have anxiety at any time. Very debilitating. It's kind of the other side of the coin of depression. Some people are depressed, some people are anxious, depending on what's going on in their lives. So always therapy is the number one. Lifestyle therapy, so going for the walk, even though it might sound trite, it's just a walk to do something, move your body. Going for the walk, eating well, getting your sleep, minimizing stress. Sometimes a week off work, if somebody is in a horrific job, will actually kind of bring them back to where they should be. Therapy. And then if therapy doesn't work, or sometimes together with the therapist, we would decide, hey, we might try somebody on something. But we would try and avoid anything possibly addictive, because anxiety spells can come up and down in life, and you want to have something that has minimal side effects and is not addictive and giving them another problem.
We have an update on the dander issue.
Okay.
Anton, I'm allergic to cats, and it took me years to realise I'm actually allergic to their saliva, not their fur or dander. It's because they lick themselves all over. Wash your hands straight away and it's fine.
Okay.
No, this is not to undermine your previous points about dander. They still stand. But now we have saliva added as an additional thing. One final one before I let you go, because as always, we have more that you would be able than we could ever get to. I sometimes get powerful headaches. There's nothing that triggers them that I can tell, and they generally go away after a short while. Is it something I should be worried about?
Powerful headaches that generally go away after a while are generally tension headaches. So maybe keep a trigger book, a diary. I know you say you don't see any triggers. A powerful headache that gets worse and more frequent and is a new thing and you're over 40 or 50, definitely get checked. Sometimes you can get a powerful headache if you have really bad blood pressure. Most people don't ever even get a headache from having blood pressure, but some people can. So there's some things that you probably would want to check as time would go on. Sometimes we see people who get very bad headaches from muscle tension in their scalp, big muscle across the top of your head, from sitting with their heads down looking at iPads.
Is there a muscle on the top of your head?
Yeah, inserted just above your eyebrows, right back to the back of your head. Sometimes that'll go in spasm. And then if you touch the top of their head, they're quite sore. And
what's it for?
I don't know, holding your eyebrows up. I don't know. Protecting your skull. I'm not
it
sure.
Seems like overkill. Like eyebrows are relatively light. Why do you need so much musculature?
I don't know, but and they have actually quite a tender scalp, those sort of people who have those sort of headaches. So there's ways of figuring out what that's from and ways of mitigating it.
Eleanor, as always, thank you so much. That is Dr. Eleanor Galvin, our resident GP. And as usual, if there's something that you sent in that we didn't get a chance to get to, we will do our best to gather them up and bring them to her the next time that she is in.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.